Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor at Brookside, and we are thrilled to be able to have Mrs. Ambretta Reed in the studio with us today. Today, we're going to be talking about the loss of a husband, the loss of your life partner, and one that really blew you out of the water, shall we say, when you first discovered what Ken's situation was. So just tell us the story, if you will.
Well, basically, beginning of 2009, I started a job, part-time job, because Ken had lost the job.
Okay.
And I have a disability, so I sought a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I've been out of work for more than 17 years. Who's going to hire me? But I had been praying that the Lord would give me something that I could do that would be comfortable with my condition.
Right.
And at the same time, add to the finances of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Ken as well was seeking a job, but I had some sufferings with what they call a bone degenerated disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to get injections and stuff like that. And Ken kept pushing me, said, you need to go back and see the doctor about getting that taken care of. If you're going to work, you're going to need that taken care of.
Sure.
And it was my knees. It was my left knee. And so finally, I did go to see a doctor.
Right.
They started giving me injections so I can go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ken, praise God, he found a job, but it was part-time.
Okay.
But I had started noticing that Ken's behavior was changing cognitively.
Mm.
And he did have a medical condition,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, he was functioning well enough to work. And so about May of 2009, and I had finally found this job. I was working at the Pregnancy Help Center,
mm-hmm.
and it was part-time. And I asked Ken if it was okay if I could take some time off before I go see this doctor.
Right.
Because I love to run from the doctors because I see them all the time. And he said, well, let me give it some thought and we'll pray about this. And I'll never forget, it was May the 15th, 2009. And I was going to ask my boss if I can take off. I was going to go up to Missouri with a friend.
Okay.
And she had just gotten a new car, and Ken was kind of like, I don't know about two gals on a road trip. And I said, oh, let's pray. And as a matter of fact, we would listen to the Word of Life ministry every morning. It was a part of our couple's quiet time.
Quiet time together.
Yes.
That's neat.
Yeah, we would get up every morning. We were early birds, both
right.
of us. Get up early, listen to that before we would get out of bed, and then about maybe half hour later, we would get our material together, and then we'd go into our actual private study time, but
okay.
we would pray.
Sure.
And I remember I was nagging him about this trip, and he said, only if you see about your appointment about your leg,
okay,
I'll consider it. And so finally, I did see the doctor, and he set my schedule for the surgery, but I wanted it to be that fall
mm-hmm.
of 2009. But Ken said, no, you don't need to wait till winter or the fall. You need to do it now. And and I said, well, okay, since you're going to let me go on the trip, right? And he was like, I'm still thinking about that and I'm still praying. And I'm like, why? What is wrong with him these days, you know?
Right.
But in that period, I have to say, the Lord was teaching me how to really be submissive.
And have a sweet spirit about
yes.
it.
Yes,
yeah.
It wasn't easy, but over time, and at that point, Ken and I had been married 22 years.
Sure.
So anyway, what happened was he did finally decide to let me go on this trip, and I had got my appointment set for my surgery. It was a left knee replacement.
Okay.
And I recall Ken had started losing a lot of weight, but we both had trimmed down quite a bit because we had been going to the Y.
Okay.
We were very active. The job Ken had was working in the after-school program
mm-hmm.
with the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
I was at the Pregnancy Help Center, so we would meet up and we would go to the Y and work out.
So you thought the losing of the weight was connected with the exercising?
Yeah, because
sure.
we both were very active in
mm-hmm.
spite of my my condition, I stay very active because right. It doesn't help me to sit down on it. So finally, it was about July. It was right after the church picnic. Ken had come into church because he was an usher. And Pastor Joe came up to me saying, "Bretta, Ken's lost quite a bit of weight." I said, "Yeah, but, you know, he want to." And I said, we've been going to the Y, and Ken practically go 5 to 6 times a week.
Okay.
He don't go on Sundays, but he would practically go every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "Okay, but that's quite a bit." To me, I think he was saying, with me being around him all the time, I didn't really see that.
Sure.
So I recall standing in choir, and I'm right in the front, in the middle, in
mm-hmm.
choir.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken was coming in, and his suit was, like, lopsided.
Wow.
And I was going like this, trying to get him to put his suit up, you know, trying to...
You were making motions for him to see that his suit needed to be adjusted.
Yes. And
right.
So finally, he was just going like this.
"You crazy woman."
Yeah. And I'm like, and he just sat down. And then I remember that evening, and this was the 12th. Of July.
Okay.
Because my surgery was that next day.
Okay.
And I had asked him, I said, "Ken, you notice that that's the suit you had on about maybe a couple months ago?" I said, "That suit is super big on you." He said, "Yeah, but you know, we've been talking about me losing weight." I said, "Yeah, but you know," I said, "it was brought to my attention. It looked like you've lost quite a bit." And then he said, "Well, I'll be okay." And I let it go. I went into surgery that next day, and the telltale signs of Ken's condition started showing up after I had the surgery, because when I came home for recovery, they wanted me to go to rehab, but Ken refused, and I didn't want to go to the nursing home either.
Right, right.
So I came home, and he still maintained his everyday, you know, going to the Y, going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't paying attention about helping me with recovery, and I thought that was kind of odd. Ken was mm-hmm. very attentive to me.
Right.
And my condition that I have and stuff, if I had to have a surgery, and I've had several surgeries.
So you knew what he was like in the past concerning caring for you and things like that, and so you began to realize there's something different, something is
something
wrong.
Something was very different, and... through it, I recall being very anxious
mm-hmm.
because, first of all, I was suffering with the recovery because I can't take pain medication
wow.
from my surgeries because it makes me really sick.
Sure.
So I was being very moderate about taking the pain meds, and it was strong stuff like the patch. And
right.
So I was really anxious and probably really aggravated. So I started being real kind of edgy towards him, like, "Why aren't you helping me out?" And he was at the Y a lot. And so thoughts start flowing in my head. And I had just picked up this book that I wanted to read while I was down called Stay Calm, Keep a Calm Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing.
Right.
And I was reading this book, and it helped me to really stay focused. But at the same time, at night when the pain was really bad and Ken would be at work and he'll come home, he'll go straight to bed, and I'm like, what is going on?
Not even check to see how you were.
No, he was acting really indifferent, and mm-hmm. I began to pray, but I was crying a lot, and
mm.
and so I gave prayer requests and things like that, but I was really just bathing in the Word of God a lot
okay.
during this time
okay.
because I didn't know what to do outside of screaming and yelling and with him, and I didn't want to do that.
And that wouldn't be right.
No, it wouldn't. It would aggravate me, and it would cause more aggravation towards him. I knew something was odd.
Okay.
So finally, it was about the latter part of July, and it was right around my birthday. I said, "Ken, what are we going to do with my birthday?" I said, "Because, you know, I can't really get up and go out." He said, "Well, maybe I'll take you out and treat you real special." He said, "Because you've been really upset with me these days, I can tell." I said, "Well, you've been acting really strange." I said, "I think you really need to go see the doctor."
I see.
And he was like, "I'm okay. It's just stress. I need a full-time job."
It was a man thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He doesn't like to hear the word doctor.
No.
Right.
Right. And he had been working at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission a year before, and that was odd because he walked away from that job.
Okay.
And I knew something was going on with him, but Ken was one of those kind of men that was precise, mm-hmm. and I had learned to be quick to hear and slow to speak.
So how did you finally get him to the doctor?
August the 3rd, I called the doctor. Ken had left to go to the Y.
Okay.
And I called the doctor, and I said, Ken needs an appointment. He needs a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did have some liver conditions that he was faced with anyway. He had hepatitis C.
Okay.
But that's a long, spread-out kind of condition.
Right.
But they said over time, you know, things would start tearing down his liver,
mm-hmm.
and they tried to put him on interferon medication, but it wasn't working.
Okay.
So he wasn't taking anything, and we really bathed that a lot in prayer. Mm-hmm. And it was over like 6-7 years since he hadn't tried anything.
Okay.
But he did do his follow-ups, but he was being very agitated, I believe, because he didn't have any health insurance at that point because it was part-time.
No insurance.
No insurance. And
well, you really have to trust God when you have no insurance, don't you?
Yes, no mm-hmm. insurance, and it was very difficult. And I thank God for my dad, because my dad was an evangelist, and he studied the Word of God, and I used to go around with him to different meetings and mm-hmm. stuff, because he was more like a tent maker.
Right.
He would help get churches started, help build deacon boards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go, and I used to have to take notes. But I learned a lot by
then. Learned a lot from your dad.
Yeah, and I used to go to him for counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turned out that Ken had to see the doctor because they said he hadn't followed up in about 6 months.
Right.
We got in to see the doctor. They did blood work. And it took them 3 days to get back to us because the shuffle.
Okay.
Finally, what happened was we got a call, and he had to go in to see the GI doctor. And that's when everything was revealed.
Everything was revealed at that point.
He was diagnosed with liver cancer. And this was on the 17th of August in 2009. We got word that Ken had fourth stage cancer.
Fourth stage liver cancer. Well, we're running out of time here, but obviously you can identify with Ambretta. You can understand what the word cancer means the first time you hear it. So next time we get together, we'll have the opportunity just to begin to understand what is it that God wants to teach us when we realize this is not a good diagnosis and we have nowhere to turn but God and no insurance, not sure exactly what to do. But when we turn to God and God's people, God always takes care of us. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. And so until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.